You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You've likely seen groups like theirs in your local diner or coffee shop, that group of seniors gathered over their weekly coffee. The topics of conversation can be pretty wide-ranging, and there is a very special bond that builds with each weekly get-together. There's a group like that meeting on Mondays at a cafe in Clarkston in northern Oakland County. And when Bill Haney joined them, he soon realized there were lessons to be learned in the lives of this group. Bill has written, edited, or published over 400 books about Michigan and the people of Michigan. So he was the right person to see a book in the lives of the group that meets at Brioni Cafe and Deli in Clarkston. The book is One Cup at a Time, Why a Gaggle of Geezers Gathers Every Monday Morning to Solve the World's Problems. Bill Haney, good to have you back on Stateside. Welcome.
Nice to be here again.
And we want to welcome one of the gaggle of geezers who actually invited Bill to join the group. His chapter in this book is titled Going Anywhere, Doing Anything, Men Coming Home Again. Wally Nesguski, welcome. Good to have you here.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
You know, I have to say, as I read your book with the foreword by former Governor Jennifer Granholm, it was really striking. You've got 11 life stories, including yours, Bill's. But I'm wondering, going back, what made you realize, wait, hey, there's a book here?
You know, this is one of the rare ones. Most of the books I've done were an idea that I had, like Ernie Harwell's book, for example. Ernie didn't come to me. I thought we should do a book. This book was right there before my eyes, and I really didn't realize it. My son Mark mentioned to me, after I had told him a story or two about these people, he said, well, you know, have you thought about doing a book on this? And until that moment, I really hadn't, but it made sense.
Why?
Because if we don't capture these stories for posterity, they're gone for good. And I think most people have said at one time or another, I wished my mother, my grandparents had put down some of this stuff. It's lost for all time. And I thought these were interesting stories in their own right and also would shed light on many of the most exciting and difficult years in this country, which were the post-depression, the Second World War, Cold War, and all these people had gone through this and different times were in the same place but didn't even know it, but had different points of view on all of these historic events and then how it shaped their own lives and created their futures for them.
And certainly lessons that any reader of any age could learn from today.
Very much so. It's not just a trip down memory lane for the people. It's also, there are lessons in there, and they're not stated overtly like, learn from this, but I think that anyone who reads it, and perhaps even especially our younger people, will get a better idea of how life was before Saran Wrap and iPhones.
Wally Nesguski, you met Bill when he stopped to buy organic vegetables from you at your stand on Sacheba Road. What made you think, hey, you know what, I'm going to invite him to the group?
Well, it was obvious to me that he was in left field and had a lot of, well, all of us at that table, we're all consider ourselves liberal. I had been fighting Bill for, he says 2 years, but I think it was more like 3 years. He neglected to come. He always had an excuse for not coming. He over complimented me about my vegetables, telling me how important it was, the thing that I was doing. And I do believe that for many years I was selling vegetables, mainly for the opportunity to express my views on agriculture.
So you felt he was a fit. He finally said, okay, I'll come. And then you say very quickly, Bill, it became the highlight of your week.
It did. I went because Wally just wore me down, really. And I said that the last thing I really needed in life or wanted to do was to sit around and get into any kind of an argument with people with a different political point of view. Not that I don't respect that. I do very much and find it stimulating. But I didn't want it in a kind of a strident sort of a way. But Wally said, no, I think, and he used the word liberals, I would say progressives, because I think some of these people may be Republicans, for all I know, or independents or Democrats. I really don't know, but we do share in common a value system and a belief in, I think, the essential goodness of people, and that you can do something with your life. They may be retired, but yes and no. Wally's not retired, and all of the people in there are involved in significant, important activities, even to including the donating of the funds from the sales of this book to Reading Works to help combat adult illiteracy, which is a crucial need in our society. And the folks there, Paula Brown and her staff, are doing a wonderful job. So that's really the cause that has motivated us to come together to do the book, not just for its own sake, but so that something good comes out of the book.
Bill, you goes to the group, comes on a Monday morning, Wally, and says, I want everybody to write your life story. What did you think when he presented this idea?
It was shocking to even consider being involved in a book like this. And I'm thrilled that I've gotten something on paper. Bill made it seem important that I needed to get some of these things that would be lost in just for my family, if nothing else. And it has evolved into something that I'm just honored to be part of.
It is fascinating to read these 11 stories. Both of you have stories, and everyone else, to get a sense of how far we have come. One of the very first stories I read, the author talks about having to travel to Grand Rapids and how it takes 10 hours to get to Grand Rapids, trundling along on Grand River because there was no interstate system. Getting a sense of what life was like for, I know if anybody has driven through Troy in Oakland County, to see what you, Bill Haney, describe as growing up in Big Beaver Village in the 40s and 50s and contrasting that with what you see in Troy and driving along Big Beaver now, it is pretty astonishing. And then there's the where life takes you. And Wally, your story really jumped out. I'm going to just kind of try to recap, and it really needs to be read to get all the nuances. I know you were born in March 43, just before your dad left to fight in World War II. Yours was the first house on the block with a TV.
Yes.
All right. Now, just to scratch the surface of what Wally has done. Worked at ski lodges, the Detroit Playboy Club. You fished for salmon in Alaska. You were a city marshal in Colorado. You lived in Mexico, New Mexico, Texas. And eventually you and your wife and son made your way back to Michigan. Why was that?
Oh, a couple of reasons. My wife had just gotten her teaching certificate and was ready to apply. And we knew that she wouldn't be, once she settled into a school district, she wouldn't want to move again. My son, he barely knew his grandparents. And the other reason is he here in Michigan, he had 30 or 40 cousins. And he needed to know them. He needed to know his grandparents. He needed to know where I came from. And that is the primary reason we moved back to Michigan.
And I think the thing we sense, Bill, through all of these stories is that idea of being finally looking for roots, that no matter where life may take you, and you were certainly, Wally, quite the explorer. You had a lot of wanderlust, but eventually there is that kind of call to home.
It was a magnet, really, I think. Mm-hmm. Michigan was, and Jennifer Granholm pointed that out in her foreword for the book, which I thought was very insightful about the people that went through these experiences in Michigan in the 30s and in the 40s didn't realize at the time what an impact it had on them. And Michigan has been very special because of the automotive industry, whether you worked in it or you were affected by it, by its ups and downs, and by the union movement in Flint, which is touched on by Jim Reed in another chapter in the book. But to me, what you have here is a mosaic of these experiences. And the irony is that I doubt that any of the people in the book would have thought that someday they would choose to come back to Oakland County, to Clarkston, to the area, and live out the rest of their lives here.
And if anybody is it wanders by Brioni's on Monday mornings, they're going to see the gang together. And if they've read One Cup at a Time, then got a kind of a sense of who it is behind the writing.
Right. And if they wander to Clarkston at 7 o'clock on Wednesday the 19th, we've invited them in with no charge to join us as we launch this book, which is not yet officially out.
Wonderful. The book is One Cop at a Time, Why a Gaggle of Geezers Gathers Every Monday Morning to Solve the World's Problems, edited by Bill Haney. And also we've got with us Wally Nizguski, who's one of the 11 geezers who contributed his life story to the book. It was really great to talk with you. Great reading. Lots of lessons in this book. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia.